Welcome to the Meal Mentor Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay S. Nixon. This is the third episode in the co-pilot series where we can chat about making the plant-based lifestyle more doable. You know, how to kind of come over those common challenges and roadblocks we all are faced on our journey, especially early on. Today's guest is a meal plan enthusiast, so she'll be talking a lot about how she uses the plans to simplify her life. She's also suffered from digestive problems for a really long time, but that's old news, old history. And she's had them even when she was a vegetarian, so we'll talk a lot about how sometimes being a vegetarian isn't enough. But anyway, she's going to talk about what helped her improve, you know, how her symptoms, what she's doing, and how she stays healthy on track in a foodie town where eating is practically the local sport, sort of like cruises when it's the gluttony bowl. So without further ado, please join me in welcoming today's co-pilot, Kristen. Hi, Kristen!
Hi, Lindsay. I'm so excited to be here. I feel kind of fangirlish and like, kind of squee a little.
Well, squeal away because I'm super excited to have you here too.
Yay. Well, let's talk. I'm so excited.
Yes, please. All right. So one of the big things that people wanted to talk about or hear us talk about today on the podcast was digestive issues, which is something a lot of people have problems with. My husband had horrible IBS before he was plant-based, and I had all kinds of stomach things that I thought were normal, but then they went away. So clearly they weren't normal. But you had them even as a vegetarian. And, you know, people always think, oh, vegetarian is so healthy. And it certainly can be, but it can also be unhealthy. And it didn't necessarily fix your problem. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about what was happening to you and sort of how you found relief.
Yeah, sure. I was a vegetarian. Well, I have been a vegetarian on and off for probably 7 years, and then I've been really committed for about 3 years. And I off and on, especially in college and then in my career as well, I just was having this constant just nervous stomach, like just tension would bring it on and stress, and it got worse and worse to the point where almost every meal I was having trouble, and I went to the doctor, and she said, you know, IBS. Well, what does that mean? IBS is
right.
It's the wrong term for you have something wrong.
And right. Right.
So I was taking a prescription medication with every meal to help, and it didn't help that much, and that was just crazy. So my husband has also had IBS for as long as I've known him. He's been through everything, like every possible test, no idea what was going on. And about a year ago, we started using the meal plans and started really committing to them because we both gained a little bit of weight, you know, approaching 30, and pounds just start to creep up, especially once you get married. So we were like, let's try these meal plans, see if, you know, committing to it and really sticking to it can help us. And the first thing we noticed was that in cutting out oil, both of us stopped having so many digestive issues.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And at first it was kind of like, well, maybe it was dairy because as a vegetarian, I'd eaten cheese for a long time. But I think that what it came down to was that added fats, especially oil, cheese, any like a lot of nut butters or avocado, that added fat made me not able to digest food.
It's so funny because that's the same thing with me. Is I was never a really big dairy eater, so I never noticed if there was a dairy. Cutting out dairy definitely made a difference for my husband. But yeah, if I have anything that's oily, like if I go to a restaurant and it's really oily or I eat something fried, like it just kills my stomach. It's almost instant. Like I almost wonder if I'm going to make it home.
Yeah, exactly. Like within 20 minutes. And sometimes we'll go to a restaurant and I'll be like, that was not cooked in oil.
It's like sloshing around in there.
Ooh, yuck. Yeah, that's exactly how it felt. So we now cook with water or broth all the time at home. And even some old favorite recipes that we have, I have switched to just doing all the sauteing in water, and we don't add butter, and neither of us have any issues with it anymore.
Yeah, I was at a friend's birthday party and she's like, oh, I got a raw vegan cheesecake. And she's like, it's raw and it's vegan. And I was like, oh, does that have a lot of nuts in it? And she's like, oh, I'm sure it has nuts in it, but you'll be fine. You'll be fine. And it's my birthday. It's my birthday. And so I had like, you know, the smallest sliver of a piece and I had to leave the party.
Oh, that's sad.
And I was just like, and I know it was just like raw, but I guess it's just the way, like you said, your body, it's just all those heavy fats. I was just like, I can't eat all these nuts. Because I think it was probably like, you know, a pound of cashews in that whole thing. Not that I ate the whole thing, but it was just like, oh, but yeah, I had to go home. But the oil really gets me. Like if I eat a processed food that has oil in it, like if I'm like, I'm going to be naughty today, I'm going to have an Oreo. Oh, forget it. I pay.
Oh, for sure. And I think that a lot of people don't really know that oil can be a trigger for those things. I
right.
mean, they go first for dairy and without thinking what's the cause behind the dairy. Why dairy? Why does that upset my stomach? And I think it's because the fat and the oil.
The high oil and the fat. Absolutely. And especially because a lot of the cheeses that today they're processed, they're so processed that they actually have oil added to them. So it's even more than the cheese. It's like double.
Yeah.
And that was my husband. He had horrible IBS. He was constantly in pain forever. And then he went vegetarian and it didn't really get better. It was a little bit better, but he was still pretty bad off. And but of course he was eating a ton of dairy. And then he went vegan and it got again better, but it wasn't 100%. And then it wasn't until like you, when we took out the oil and also we had to get him off peanut butter, he's a new guy. I mean, he has zero. And this was someone who, like, you know, was almost scared to go out sometimes because he didn't know if there would be a bathroom to not having any problem.
Yeah, I have been that person who's like, I don't think I want to go to that outdoor party because...
Exactly. That's what it was. It was always like outdoor parties, festivals, public events, you know, in the community where there's only like porta potties and there's like four of them in a line.
Yeah. You don't want to have to run to the bathroom when there's a giant line.
Right. Or airplanes. It's like, oh, well, we have to sit by the bathroom and it's, oh, there's no seats on the aisle by the bathroom. Can't fly. You know, like, it was like, that's what it was like.
Yeah.
Oh, tummy troubles are the worst.
I don't even remember the last time I had to take one of my prescription pills at this stage. It's been at least a month, probably around Christmas when family was visiting, I'm sure.
Yeah, right.
I had to break them out then, but.
So one thing you mentioned is that your husband also had the stomach problems and that it went away. But there's more to his story that you were telling me earlier when we were emailing, that your husband was an omnivore until the meal plans and then that all changed. So maybe you can tell us about that.
Yeah, he was a dedicated omnivore and I started being vegetarian years ago. Like I said, he was like, okay, well, I'll cook what you want and I'll cook meat to add into it. And then we started on the meal plans, and then right after that, I think I watched Forks Over Knives on Netflix, and it ended, and we'd been having all these good meals and everything, and my husband just turned to me, and he was like, okay, you've convinced me.
Yay!
I'm not going to buy meat anymore. And
meal plans for the win.
Yeah, I think that he was really shocked with the meal plans how much the variety is and how satisfying it is without the meat. Like, you don't even need it. I didn't need it anyway.
Well, that's one thing, you know, my husband always says to people, he's like, stop looking for meat on your plate. Like that you have to just sort of kind of get over the mental thing because you can be totally satisfied and sometimes even more satisfied, you know, with the plant-based foods. And before my parents are now plant-based, but I remember their first plant-based Thanksgiving was because I was plant-based and I refused to cook turkey or anything like that in my home. And, but my parents were coming. It was my turn to host Thanksgiving. They were still omnivore and they kept joking they were going to go to the neighbor's house. And I mean, it was all day.
Yeah,
and, it gets
old.
Yeah, it gets old fast.
Funny the first two times.
Yeah, it was. And then I was like, okay, again. Oh, okay. Oh, shut up. But then, you know, both of them like sat there after dinner, like, oh my God, I can't believe how good this was. How satisfied I feel. I really felt that I was gonna be like mad and missing out, and I don't at all. Like, it really kind of opened their mind. And then my dad had a heart attack, unfortunately, 2 months later, and that made them go plant based. But they are, and they still say that. They're like, it's been 3 years now, and I just can't believe how good I feel all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that my husband expected to continue having digestive issues on a plant-based diet because, you know, the high fiber and the beans, and sometimes it can be really hard to digest, but it's been fine for him. I think he's better now than he has been in most of his adult life.
That's amazing. That's so wonderful. And you bring up a good point, too, that sometimes the increased fiber and stuff like that, it can bother people. There is definitely some an adjustment period, but I find that's not usually true for people like yourself and your husband who've had like chronic bowel issues. It doesn't seem to affect them, but some people who didn't previously have stomach issues sometimes find that they'll have gas or, you know, maybe some of their stools won't be exact, but your body usually, you know, works itself out. It gets used to the increased fiber and One of the things, of course, that you can do is to chew really well, really chew to a cream, which I think in our busy go, you know, lifestyle, a lot of us don't properly chew as well as we should.
To inhale our food.
Yeah, I pretty much inhaled my lunch. so I'm a work in progress myself. But yeah, definitely chewing. And also you can like do things like soak your beans to kind of help out if that's a problem you have. But yeah, I do find, and it's amazing. I've worked with, you know, thousands of members at this point, and so many people had these, you know, digestive issues, or they didn't know that they had digestive issues because they thought it was normal. Like they thought it was normal to constantly pop like Tums and other antacids before and after a meal. Like they had no idea that you didn't have to live that way. And, yeah, I mean, I had all these, you know, all these different kinds of digestive issues from just bloating. Like my stomach was always bloated. And as a woman, I was so self-conscious of it because I always was like, oh my gosh, I have this big belly, or I can't button my pants, or, you know, people would sometimes ask me if I was pregnant, and I was just, it was so embarrassing and I was so uncomfortable. It was so uncomfortable, and I would feel like I needed to go, but then I actually couldn't go.
Yeah, and I think that's terrible. One of those issues that sometimes people don't even realize that it's happening.
Right.
They don't know how to recognize that bloat or that discomfort as something that you shouldn't be feeling.
Right, yeah. And, like, I was just like, I don't need to feel this way. I mean, I remember when I had gone, like, a few weeks and I hadn't had any of those things happen. I was like, whoa. Oh, you can live life without that? Like, you can live life without days of bloat? Like, what? What is this magic?
Yeah. It's plant wizardry.
Right? Exactly. I was like, what is this? But yeah, it was just, and I hear it all the time. You know, one thing too that, you know, people will tell me is they spent their whole life constipated. And I was like, that's not a problem anymore. Yeah. I mean, but that, you know, people spend their whole lives constipated. And I'm like, I can't even imagine that.
Yeah, I have no framework for what that would feel like.
Right. I was like, reading, I can't remember the exact figure, but it was something like $500 million Americans spend per year on laxatives.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, come on, let's just eat some kale.
Nah, seriously.
I'm like,
it's way cheaper.
Right. But mostly I feel bad that all these people aren't in on our secret, you know? Like, they don't know that they don't have to be constipated. Oh, okay. So another topic for today's show is that you live in like a really foodie town where there's like tons of restaurants, tons of food stuffs going on. Everyone's really, and there's those places are really kind of growing here in America, that there's just a lot more cities and towns that are really becoming like foodie places, foodie havens. It's all about food. And so how do you kind of navigate in that situation? You know, one obviously being that you eat this very clean, this plant-based diet with no oil, and obviously these restaurants are probably not serving your kind of digs, but also just dealing with like the social aspect of all of your friends and these events.
That is actually, it's one of my biggest challenges. Every single time I go to a restaurant, I feel in some ways like I'm starting over because it's finding what to eat on the menu or working up to asking for something to be prepared differently, and especially in Bloomington, because we do have, I think there's, you could probably go to a different restaurant every night for 6 months.
Wow.
There are that many. And then so much of it is, you know, this is a college town and it's Indiana, so there's a lot of bar food with fries and, you know, the mozzarella sticks and all this crazy, greasy, rich stuff. So for me, I think that one is just experimenting and finding restaurants where I know that I can eat what they cook. And I mean, since it's a college town and it's kind of a hippie hipster town,
you have some good choices.
Yeah. They're more willing to work with you, and they'll say up front, like, oh, we have a vegan fryer, or we use separate grills for vegetarians and things like that. So that is really helpful. But, sorry, one of my cats just walked in.
Oh, no. I thought, I was like, is that a cat or a door?
It was a cat whining. So yes, restaurants.
Yeah.
Oh man, she completely derailed me.
No, well, one of the things things you're saying is that a lot of the restaurants there already have vegan and vegetarian options. And sometimes I feel that it's even harder because sometimes I'll tell myself, well, it's vegan. So I'm like trying to tell myself it's healthy, even though it's like this like deep fried thing. So it's not like really healthy. It's tofu. It's like deep fried tofu. And so when I live in places that have a lot of vegan restaurants, I'm like, oh gosh, you know, because they have so many things. I'm like, oh, but it still is, like you said, you still have to try to find your healthy thing. And that's one thing I'm always doing, because I'm traveling all the time. So I look straight at the menu and I immediately like skip past the fried stuff and see what options are there, what I can tweak. And sometimes I'll make a meal out of different components. Like I'll see, you know, I saw this one place, I was like at a burger place, and one of the burgers had a portobello on it. And so I was like, can I just get like a portobello sandwich without the beef? And they were like, sure, no problem. Yeah. I mean, I was like in like this, you know, small town. And another time I saw that they had like hummus as an appetizer, and then they also did wraps, but all of the wraps had like meat and cheese in them. But then I was like, can you do a wrap for me with hummus and vegetables? And they were like, oh, of course, you know. So it really never hurts to ask. And I've had a few restaurants even put the kind of things I threw together, like my creations, on their menu. And it's really cool because a lot of times they just don't know that there's even this desire, or they just don't know at all. Like the bagel shop I'm going to is always offered hummus, and now they offer an oil-free hummus. And it even says on the menu, like, oil-free hummus now, and they make it in-house. And it's so popular that they sell out of it. So if I want a bagel with hummus, I have to go before 11 a.m. because they sell out every day.
Oh man, it seems like they should reserve it for you.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, come on, guys. And the thing is I asked them about it, and they're like, well, we sell about 1,000 bagels a day. So that's a lot of hummus. It's not like, oh, well, let me just make a little batch for the hippie. Like, no, they make tons and it just sells out.
I think that one of the skills that we'll have to learn, and I think, where was I just reading this? I think it was in Slim by Design, just talking about learning to read menus and what phrases kind of disguise heavy oil and that sort of thing. So that often if you see something vegan on the menu, you go straight toward it because, oh, that must be good for me, or that's something easy, I can eat. But frequently those are the things that they don't know how to cook. So maybe they're smothered in grease and oil and oily mushrooms or whatever. And so you have to learn to kind of look past that and see like, oh, well, here's a steamed something or another with mushrooms or with potatoes, and you can say, oh, well, I don't want can I have the tofu from this, but the steamed options from this, and looking around the menu, what they're presenting you, to see what is healthy.
Yeah, that's a really great point, because my husband and I have noticed that a lot of times places that are trying, and, you know, clapping, you know, good for them for trying to offer a vegan option or whatever, but sometimes they overcompensate by putting like a ton of oil or a ton of sugar on it because they're like freaking out and thinking people won't like it. Yeah. And so then it's like, well, no, okay. But so you're right, though, that sometimes it is still, there's better options not selecting, you know, the vegan or the vegetarian plate. And a lot of the restaurants we go to, because like you, I've found 5 restaurants in my area that will kind of cater to me and work with me and do, and, you know, I can mock up the menu or whatever. And so I go to those and I love them and I go a lot. I walk into one and she's like, do you want 4 spring rolls or do you want 8? And I'm like, yes, I'm that person. But, now I've lost my train of thought. But yeah, so sometimes it isn't even the vegan restaurants, because a lot of these places I go to in my town, they're not vegan restaurants. They're just your regular restaurants, but they have these healthy choices on the menu that I can make work for me. One of them being this place called Swingers, and they actually have a vegan menu. They have all sorts of vegan stuff on the menu. But what I end up getting is I end up ordering a side of steamed corn tortillas, a salad, and a side of their black beans that they happen to make without oil, and I make black bean tacos at the table.
Ooh, delicious.
Oh, so good. And they also have like 4 different complimentary hot sauces on the table. So I end up having like quite a little feast with myself.
Oh, that sounds heavenly.
And here's the best part. It's like $5.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm ordering like these like $2 sides.
Oh, you're ordering like sides. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like, yes, win. But meanwhile, the vegan dish that's like got like all these, it's like fake chicken and fake cheese and like all these other things on it. And it's like $12. And I'm like, I'm winning, you know, with my healthy fare. So I like that you pointed that out, because I definitely think that all the good job restaurants, you're doing a great job, but
oh, definitely.
But yeah, it's the super greasy mushrooms is not what I was looking for my vegan meal. Oh, it makes me
sad to see the mushrooms just completely deep fried.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you ruined them.
That was so good. And you also mentioned Slim by Design, which I have to also applaud. It's an incredible book. Slim by Design by Brian. I think you say Wansink is his last name. Wansink. He's also the author of Mindless Eating, which is the most incredible book. Everyone should read it 5 times. It changed my life. I recommend it to our meal plan members all the time because it's so amazing. But Slim by Design was a second book. And as Kristen was saying, is it talks a lot about what he calls your food radius, which is like your supermarket and the restaurants in your area, and how to be healthy at them, how to navigate at them. One of the greatest tips in the book is for every plate of food you have, make sure half of it is covered in vegetables, steamed vegetables, you know. And you can get steamed vegetables at any restaurant, even if it's not on the menu. If you ask for a side of steamed broccoli or potato or something, they'll bring it to you. And it's usually, if they charge you, because they won't always, it's never more than $1 or $2. Yeah. And so that's great. But that whole book, and it even has like things you can give to the restaurants. Like it tells you what to say. It tells you letters you can write to the managers to get them to make healthier options for you. And it's just, I'm so glad you brought that book because it wasn't even on my radar for this podcast, but it's really on point here.
It's been really helpful for me with going out to eat as often as we end up doing in this town. Just because of the strategies that he suggests. And it's really helpful for making restaurants in your own kitchen and all mm-hmm. the food suppliers on your own turf
right.
more friendly for you. So that one has been really, really helpful for me.
Right. And because he recognizes like, okay, we say we want to change the whole world, but we can't do that. But we can start making changes in our community where we live, where it affects us today.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have to start somewhere and you might as well start where you're going to be eating. So... that's a good one.
So one of the things I love about the meal plans is that they are super flexible for when you want to take these days off, like you were saying, to go out and eat and have these sort of social events. But you use them also not just because it's, you know, helped you feel better and get rid of your stomach issues and it converted your husband. So woo there. But also, you know, you're really busy and you have, you know, your own jewelry, which we'll talk about in a second. But I know you just need to simplify your life because you're just so, so busy. So maybe you can kind of tell us about how incorporating it in your life helps you.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, I feel like the meal plans have just kind of lifted an entire responsibility off of my shoulders in my life because I think it's fairly common, but I have kind of identified in myself that I tend to get sort of a choice fatigue. So that I'm looking at a week and I'm going, oh, I have no idea what to cook this week. I cannot make another decision. And then the meal plan comes to my inbox and it's all those decisions for me.
Right.
It's wonderful.
I love that.
Yeah, that makes it really helpful. So, In our house, usually we look at the meal plan in advance, and if there's something like with beets, that's one of our hated vegetables. We don't cook anything with beets, we'll be like, okay, well, there's the night that we'll sub in either a recipe that we like from the cookbooks, or maybe that's a night that we'll go out, and then we plan our week around the meal plan otherwise, so that we make that substitution.
Oh, cool. I like that.
And then I think this is kind of... random, but I've seen a lot of people asking like, oh, we're just a couple in the Facebook group, which has been a tremendous resource. We're a couple. Should we do the individual meal plan doubled or the family plan? And mm-hmm. I think obviously the family plan has been changed a little bit, I think, since I first signed up so that now it's easier for couples to use. But I found that the individual meal plan, it was really easy for us to just divide it and then supplement it with extra veggies. That made it super easy.
Oh yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah, my husband and I switch between the individual and the family plan. The family, you know, it really depends on, I think, the couple. So the family plan is great because it serves four, so you can have dinner and then take the leftovers for lunch the next day. But if you both don't need lunch the next day, then it can kind of be a lot too much because you end up with a lot of leftovers. And same here, because a lot of times I have lunch meetings. You know, I'm meeting other people, clients, business for lunch, and so I don't have a need for lunch. And the same with my husband. If he'll be out, like he's out and about, so he'll just stop and get like a salad or something. So that didn't work for us. But like you, we often use the individual plan, which sometimes does have the two servings so the individual can have a leftover, because who wants to cook every single day? And but even when that doesn't happen, usually I just add a side salad or, like you said, you know, throw in a can of beans or some side veggies, and it extends it out beautifully for us.
Yeah. My husband doesn't need lunch. He works in an office. I work from home. So I'm really the one who's using the lunch part of the meal plan, so that as much as I like leftovers, we don't always need as much as the family plan would provide.
Yeah. I'm really glad you brought that up. And so, of course, I also wanted to, as I mentioned, your jewelry line, which is just absolutely gorgeous. So I want you to tell us about it. But I noticed when I was looking at the collection, a lot of it is like, there's trees and things that really sort of reminded me of plants and the environment. And I was curious if your new plant-based diet, which I guess isn't so new for you because you've been doing it for a while now, but I was wondering if that had any sort of inspiration to you, or there was a deeper connection, or you were inspired by it.
Yeah, when I saw that you were asking that question, I kind of laughed, because I was like, oh my gosh, it is a huge influence. I became a vegetarian for ethical reasons, mostly. I didn't want to eat animals, and I am a giant plant lover. Like, I'm a gardener, and I love trees, and so all of my jewelry, I tend to take inspiration from the natural world. And I kind of feel like my entire life revolves around this plant world. I mean, this is what I eat, and it's where I get my jewelry designs from. And I think that it kind of reflects the healthy choices in all my life, because I'm constantly surrounded by images of plants and flora, I suppose.
Yeah.
So yes, that's definitely a huge thing. And then it's just a reminder of how much I love nature and the natural world, and how this lifestyle that I'm living is better for our world. And I have a smaller footprint because of it, and I'm not hurting animals and that kind of thing.
And I love that you use the keyword natural, because I always feel like this diet and the way we're eating, it is natural, because we're really eating Earth's bounty.
Yes, you're very connected to the land with this. I think in the meal plans, you definitely see as well the changing of the seasons and mm-hmm. the food that you guys provide, not just the vegetables, but the type of food. So it's just one more connection to the seasons and the nature around us.
Yeah, that's one of the things, like you said, I love. I love the embracing the season. I always love with the meal plans that we're always eating what's in season and what's right now. And it's funny, because I can remember seeing on like Pinterest, people were making pumpkin things in June. And I mean, I love pumpkin. Like, I really, really love pumpkin. Pumpkin muffins are my favorite. But I feel like because I only eat them in the fall, I just appreciate them and get excited for them and love them just a little bit more.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it's like strawberries. When strawberries in season, I don't think anything tastes better in the whole world than,
oh no, there's nothing,
you know, strawberries in season. And as much as I love strawberries, and right now, because I said it, I want one so bad, I know that it's also the cold winter.
Yeah. They're just not quite as good.
And it's just not going to happen right now. No, and even if I go to the store and I buy them and they're going to be expensive because they're out of season, they're not going to taste the way I want them to.
No.
So I love that, what you're saying about that connection. Just really, I mean, on so many levels, you're like flowing with like the way the earth is, which sounds super hippie, but...
Oh, it does.
But I really feel like... Yeah, maybe eating plants has made me that way.
Well, it's very practical and down to earth and pragmatic, because, you know, eat what's in season. It just makes sense. So.
Yeah. And that's what I always think about. Cause when we're traveling abroad and stuff, you know, I lose it for fruit stands. I like go over and see all of the different fruits and produce and things that are growing there that maybe I'll never see back in America. And I'm just like, I'm super excited about it. It's like, I'm more excited to go see like the farmers markets than I am to go see the restaurants that are there, which, yeah. All of my other friends are like, Lindsay is so strange that she's like so excited about this random market in the middle of China, when all of us are like, let's go eat dim sum. Like,
actually, we have a tremendous farmers market here in Indiana, which is funny because, I mean, this is farming community, but most of the farms are corn and soy. That's just what people grow in the Midwest, I think. But it's one of my very favorite things to do, is to go to the farmers market and get like these weird heirloom tomatoes that you never see in grocery stores. And
I love
those. They're
beautiful
and misshapen, and
they're beautiful, but they're ugly. Like,
oh, they're so beautiful and ugly. Like,
at the same time,
colors and lumpy and weird.
Yeah, they're like all lumpy and not round, and kind of tie-dyed, but they're so good. When I see the heirloom tomatoes at the farmer's market, I like walk home with like 20 of them, and they're like my snacks because I'm
you could just bite into them like an apple.
They're exactly. So and I like, it gets to the point where my husband's like, every meal, we need these at every meal. And I'm like, yes, we need these at every meal because they're limited time. It's funny that you said everyone grows, you said soy and was it corn?
Corn and soy, yeah.
Yeah, so one of my, this couple that my husband and I are very close friends with, they're originally from Indiana. They actually live in London now, but they're originally from Indiana. And one day, Dan was telling me that his father, who still lives in Indiana, grows soy. And I was like already a vegetarian and vegan at this point. And so I was like, oh my God, can he send me some of his soybeans from his farm? And Dan like looked at me like I was absolutely crazy and then was like, oh no, I know you eat soy, but these soy aren't edible.
They're ethanol or whatever.
And he was like, oh my God, your face looks like I just told you there was no Santa. But I was just like, it was the first time in my life I'd ever heard. I mean, this was like a decade ago, but it was the first time in my life I'd ever heard of that where, but I guess they like modify this soy and corn because it goes to like animal feed. So it's like, wait, these farmers are growing a plant that they can't even eat. Like, I mean, it really was mind-blowing to me.
It was the first time that I ever saw soy growing. Actually, we had just moved from California to the Midwest, and I was like, what's that? And it was soy, and I was like, ooh, like edamame. And
yeah, that's what I said. I'm like, edamame fresh?
Yeah, can I just go out there and pick some? No.
Not so much.
It's a disappointment, but it's still kind of nice to see.
Oh, your jewelry. You didn't tell us where we could go check it out.
Oh, yeah. It's at, you can find me on Etsy, and the store name is Twisted Magic. So I think that I might be wrong on this, but it's Etsy.com/Twisted Magic, I think we'll get you there.
I'm sure if not, we can search Twisted Magic and we will find your goodies. So, well, thank you so much, Kristen. I had so much fun chatting with you, and it was really informative to hear about how you kind of cope in the foodie town. And I loved all of our discussions about how to make it work at your restaurant. The book we were mentioning over and over is called Slim by Design, which I highly, highly, highly recommend. And of course, this is the Meal Mentor podcast. And if you want to learn more about the meal plans that Kristen loves so much, visit getmealplans.com. Thanks everyone for listening.